Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And now a special Radio Boston musical treat right here in our studio.
Big Lonely, how much for your body? Hey, Big Lonely, how much for control?
Melissa Ferrick was born and raised here in Massachusetts, and she's been singing, rocking, and rolling for most of the past two decades.
Tonight and tomorrow, she'll be playing with her band at Club Passim in Harvard Square. She came into our studio recently with just her guitar. This is the title track of her new CD, Still Right Here.
Yeah, you're still right here. Yeah, you're still right here.
All right. Melissa Ferrick, thanks so much.
Sure.
That's Melissa Ferrick singing Still Right Here, the title track off her new album. Thanks so much for coming in and welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, what a pleasure.
Will you tell me just about that song? I just loved it as soon as I heard it on the new CD with your band. I love it even more hearing you play it acoustically like this.
Yeah. The song came quickly. Good ones usually do. Good songs usually do. My best friend was in a horrific car accident, actually in my vehicle. And thank God everybody was fine. But, you know, we had been struggling with our friendship. We kind of kept coming up against different obstacles. And then the crash happened. And I wrote, Hey Big Lonely, how much for your body? Hey Big Lonely, how much for control? That was mostly kind of a reflection of her, you know, what is the price of your being alive, you know?
Right.
And then it turned on myself, which is for complete isolation, are you ready to watch your kingdom overthrown, which is a little bit about my transition from putting records out on my own to signing a record deal. A lot of times songs, I think, are about someone else, and they're just about me.
It turns in on you. Well, it's interesting. A lot of times when we think we are making judgments about someone else, we're sort of really making judgments about ourselves.
Yeah, we're the reflector. Right?
Yeah, we're the reflector, exactly. This sort of answers the next question I wanted to ask. I'm just wondering if a lot of your music comes from a sort of musical riff at first, or if it starts with the words or an idea.
Interesting. You know, for years, for 20 years now that I've been writing, 21 years, I feel like all of my songs have sprung all from lyrics, from writing all the lyrics first, usually in free form, usually just as a stream of consciousness, and then I go in and do the work and pick it apart. I've gotten better at doing that work as I get older. Certainly there was a time period where I thought myself very Jack Kerouacian and would never fix anything.
What, it could just sort of come out?
Yeah,
and
it was like, it was the moment, you know?
It was the moment, right.
But as I get older, I get better at doing that. And also, you know, now as I feel like I have a grip on my guitar playing, I do come up with little riffs occasionally and then we'll drive around and sing melodies and have melodies come to me.
I love the energy with which you play your guitar.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's just terrific. And you have a great strength and really interesting character in your voice. And I'm wondering, when you were younger, who were your biggest influence? Who do you still admire? I mean, who do you think, like, yeah, I want to be able to sing like that?
There's two, one a woman and one a man. One, the woman is Joan Armatrading, and the man is Bruce Springsteen, of course.
That's great.
So particularly Joan Armatrading, I remember in my dorm at Berkeley, I would try to sing along to, on vinyl, Down to Zero.
I remember that. And talk about a powerful voice.
God, it didn't matter how many times I tried it, I could never nail her phrasing. Hmm. Down to zero when you're reeling, making your number one. Like, it's just like, oh, man, I couldn't nail it.
And Bruce Springsteen, too.
Yeah, huge Bruce fan. More for his longevity and his unbelievable ability to disappear on stage. I think that's something that I look for when I go see bands.
Now, that's interesting. What do you mean disappear on stage? Because when I think of Springsteen, I think of him as such a generous performer out there on stage, giving all of himself. But maybe you mean something else.
Yeah, I mean that he's egoless on stage.
I see.
I don't want to watch someone putting a show on for me. You know what I mean? I want to watch them basically disintegrate into their soul, you know, while they're up there performing. I want to watch someone lose themselves the way I wish I could lose myself.
Is authenticity the word? I mean, that is, it's someone doing something authentically rather than playing a role.
That's a great word for it. It could be even just beyond that. To me, it's almost like a melting, you know?
You grew up in Ipswich, I understand, and still live in the Boston area. Can you tell us something about your upbringing and how you first became passionate and involved with music?
Sure. A lot of those stories, Anthony. Well, the story that's probably most repeated in my family is that when I was four, I was doing ballet with my sister. We were doing the Easter play where you had to dress up like rabbits and put like a little thing on your backside and shake your backside at the audience. And at four, I walked off the stage and said to my parents, I am never doing that again. And besides, I've wanted to play the violin since before I was born. And so they saved up their money and bought me a violin and gave it to me for Christmas when I turned five. That's how I started playing music.
Wow. And so was it classical training at that age?
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah, classical training on violin. And then I picked up trumpet in elementary school. Did more, band, elementary school band, but then immediately into classical training and jazz training on that, and started writing songs when I was little, I wrote songs about, like, dead skunks in the middle of the road, but I also started writing songs about, you know, heartbreak at 14 when you think you know what that is. So
we're talking with Melissa Farrick. Her new CD is Still Right Here, and Melissa, can we get you to do something else?
Yeah, I'd love to do another song. So this is a quiet song. I write a few of these every year. They're always my favorite. This is a song about a true love that I was in, that I thought I would be in forever, and I screwed it up. So here's my song called Checking In. Checking in on my past, checking in on a love at last, and I think I might have messed up. I think I jumped the gun. So if it was true love, would you mind telling me you thought it was or not? Cause I've been living a slow, slow, still life now. Hitting nothing here, I hear nothing but solid ground. But I don't think I'm happy, cause I feel a little sad. So if it was true love, would you mind giving me a call, telling me you thought it was? And was I there for it? Was I there for it? Did you feel like I was there for our love at all? At all, because I've been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times poor, and so what, babe? I got a little bit of money now, but my heart's still sore. So would you mind giving me the score before I throw the towel in? And if it was true love, don't you think it deserves somebody saying it was? Yes, yes, it was. It was.
That's Melissa Farrick in our studios here at Radio Boston doing Checking In. Melissa Farrick, so beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Such a sweet, sad, but beautiful song. And a lot of your songs are inspired by your personal experiences, good and bad. Do the bad times make for the best songs?
Yes, they do. Yes, the simple answer. Yes, they do. There's a weird point, like, when things are really, really hard in your life, you know, where you can't do anything, you know, where it's just everything just stinks, you know. And then there's this weird little bridge period, this weird little kind of bridge, like pedestrian bridge, I see it as. I don't see it like the Tobin, you know. And it's a very short period of time before you get to the other side of something that I feel like is my most creative, which is when I have some perspective on what I was going through, and I have no idea the relief and happiness and freedom I'm going to feel on the other side of this thing. In that little bridge is when, for me anyway, I'm the most creative.
Hmm. I have this theory about that's why sad songs or songs about sad times can sort of make you feel uplifted, because there is that feeling of you've sort of made sense of it and you've moved on in a way.
Yeah, well, the great songs, I think, are the songs that give you perspective on it or make you feel like it is going to be okay. And
right.
Whether that is the bridge of the song, you know, like the Beatles, you know, write the best bridges because the bridge gives you, you know, that's the section that's a little bit different musically and a little bit melodically. And usually a bridge will give you the other person's perspective or the other side of it, like it's going to be all right, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Those are the hard parts to write. It's a difficult thing, songwriting, to get an entire moment in, you know, basically 3 minutes or less.
Well, you do it really well.
Thanks.
Can you tell me about your decision to come out publicly? And I understand that Atlantic Records wanted you to come out when you released your first record, when you were just 22.
Right.
Right?
They wanted me to be their gay poster child, I think. Yeah. That was in 1993. My first record came out. I was 22 years old. And at the time, I was not secure in my sexual orientation. I was dating a guy and a girl at the time. This was also very difficult because it was very popular to be gay, you know, in the world of major labels and publicity. It was,
and that's why Atlantic wanted you to do it, right?
Yeah, because I think they saw it as a way to create a story, you know, and sell records. And I said no.
It
was difficult.
Yeah, it sounds difficult and to be manipulated like that.
Yeah, I don't think I even realized that that's what was happening. I just knew I didn't want to do it.
Right.
I knew that, so I said no. And I remember doing an interview in Dublin. I was over in Dublin with Dwight Yoakam, of all people, playing a show, and an interviewer, you know, I was wearing a ring at the time, and he asked me, you know, oh, are you married? And I remember just saying, yeah, I'm married to my music, which was like such a lame answer anyway. I mean, I would never say anything like that anyway, if anybody that knows me. But then, of course, the record didn't work. So I made another record with Atlantic. Then I wanted to have some success because I felt like I might get dropped and all of those things. And I then said, why don't I come out and we'll do stories? And I used
to help sell records.
Yeah, which also felt all I cared about was becoming famous. I didn't care about my integrity. So that didn't work either. Shocking, right?
Oh.
When we do things from a lie, they don't work.
So it didn't work musically, or it didn't work in terms of the way it made you feel?
It didn't feel good inside, put it that way. You know?
Yeah. Well, it must be nice to have that behind.
Oh, yeah. It's so organic. I mean, and it's really nice to be in my 40s and just be comfortable with that. I don't feel like I have to defend it or anything.
Melissa, will you play a final song for us?
Sure.
Before we say goodbye? And what are you going to play us out on?
I was going to play a New Year's song because it's appropriate.
Excellent.
This is called This Time of Year, also sometimes referred to as Northeast. So, and I wrote this during the snowstorm last year, so this is your New Year's song.
Rain turns to snow, Northeast covers up.
Melissa Ferrick's new CD is called Still Right Here. She'll be performing at Passim in Harvard Square tonight and tomorrow. There's more information on our website at radioboston.org. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and I won't be here for the rest of the week, so Anthony, have a very safe and happy New Year.
And happy New Year to you, Meghna. Have a great holiday. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.